Well, please turn once more in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I had a deliberation this afternoon as I was really working through the final review of the material for tonight's message. I really was uneasy. I felt there was just too much material for one message. And also, I didn't want to rush through the introduction. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to preach the introduction tonight, and then we'll come to the main part of the message next Lord's Day evening. I think that's probably a wiser approach, and I suspect by the time we get to the end of tonight's message, you will agree that that's been a wise approach to the text. And so with that in mind, I really want to draw your attention to five words. The first five words of verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father. And with those words in our ears, let's bow together in a word of prayer as we ask the Lord to help us in the word tonight. Eternal God, our Father in heaven, I confess, O Lord, my need for your help tonight. That as we come to this section of this prayer, you would, O Lord, help me to rightly preach thy word, that I'd understand the word and deliver it in a manner that is according to thy truth. That you would keep me from conjecture and the opinions of man, and regard me, O Lord, within the conduct of a man seeking to expound the word of God. Give help to all who are listening in, those watching on, those here in the building. Help us all to rightly apply our minds to the word. And that, dear Father, we would honor thee in the preaching and in the hearing of the word. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The term common grace refers to God's kindness toward this world, a kindness that comes short of the grace that saves. So we talk about saving grace, and we talk of common grace. Not common in that it is not significant, but common in that it's enjoyed by all creation. Hence, the animal kingdom, they enjoy food from God's hand. He feeds his creation. We also see in Luke chapter 6 that God is kind to the ungodly in terms of the giving of the sun and the rain. Common grace. Common grace, though, is also seen at times in the display of goodness in the unregenerate. Sometimes we talk about total depravity. We talk about how the entirety of man's humanity is corrupted by sin. But that does not mean that sinners are incapable of doing anything that is right. When a sinner says that 2 plus 2 equals 4, they are declaring truth. And so we don't understand depravity to mean that the ungodly can do nothing that is actually upright and righteous. And one area that we see this in is in the area of saying thank you. Even the ungodly will often say thank you. Good manners and civility in the presence or in the life of the unregenerate is a mark of God's common grace. Even the ungodly teach their children. You make sure and you say thank you for that gift. I think it's one of the most common ways. Again, this was a hastily prepared message this afternoon. But I think this is one of the most common ways that we see common grace in the world. We hear thank you, even from the unregenerate. But that has, I believe, a knock-on effect in the understanding of the people of God regarding the importance of thankfulness. Because we see it displayed in the ungodly, it diminishes its importance in our understanding of spirituality. Thanksgiving, often being looked on as a mark of good manners, is then not seen as a mark of grace, saving grace. And there is a thankfulness that is present in the ungodly, but there is a thankfulness that is only properly understood and known in the heart of the regenerate. And so as I began to think through the message tonight, I thought it would do us good to take some time to consider the doctrine of thanksgiving as a work of grace. That properly understood, thanksgiving only occurs in the heart of the regenerate child of God. And so there are three ways I want to display this to you tonight, and we'll look at this from different angles. I want to show you that thanksgiving is a mark of the worthy walk. I want to show you that thanksgiving is a manifestation of true spiritual joy. I want to show you that thanksgiving comes out of a meditation of faith. And those are three areas I want to look at tonight as we consider this text. And they are areas that do arise in the text itself. So I'm not going from verse to verse. I will show you other verses. But I am restricting my attention to these verses. I believe that what we're seeing here arises out of the text itself. So first of all then, thanksgiving is a mark of the worthy walk. And here I want to again remind you of the structure of this particular prayer. The central clause, you've heard me say so many times, the central clause is verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's the core, that's the essence of Paul's prayer here. He's praying for this worthy walk. But that walk, I want to remind you several months ago now, that walk is not a walk unto worthiness, but a walk that is worthy of what's already true by grace. The Lord has called us. We're to walk worthy of the calling worth being called. Here, we're to walk worthy of the Lord. We have the Lord's name, and we are not to walk to earn that name, but we're to walk as those who have that name upon us. We are the Lord's, and our walk is out of that reality. This is a prayer for believers. Paul makes that clear, verse number 3 and 4. He gives thanks to God because he's heard of their faith in Christ Jesus. He's heard of the love they have for the saints. He understands that these people in Colossae, they are genuine products of God's grace. He knows the fruit in their lives. They bring forth fruit, verse number 6. And so as Paul prays for their walk, he's praying for their walk as believers. But as believers, this walk has four marks. It's got the mark of fruitfulness in every good work. It's got the mark of increasing in communion. Those are the two parts of verse number 10. Fruitfulness in all good works and increasing in the knowledge of God. It also has the mark in verse 11 of perseverance. The Christian's walk is not in fits and starts. They keep on going day by day. They don't give up. They don't sit down. They keep on going. There's a perseverance. But that perseverance, of course, is by God's power. They must be strengthened with all might. This walk, in other words, is the walk in the paths of righteousness. It's a walk in obedience to the commands of God. And thus my argument is that thanksgiving itself must be a work of grace. Because the fourth mark of this worthy walk in verse 12 is giving thanks. There are thankful people in their walk. If you like, you can imagine somebody walking down the road and they've been born again in the Spirit of God. And as they walk, they continually say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. There's this continuality in the thankfulness that they have. Thanksgiving. And so if this thanksgiving is a mark of the worthy walk, then my argument is that that must be produced by God's grace. It's a spiritual thing. And let me show you that. First of all, think about the term precept. Thanksgiving is obedience to God's precept. We're commanded to be thankful. See, remember, Paul is not making up these prayers. As he prays for the believers, he's praying for the will of God for them. He's praying that God would work in them, producing his will. And so as Paul prays that they would be thankful, verse 12, he therefore is praying the very will of God. We read Psalm 92 this evening. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Good. Pleasant, yes. Beneficial, yes. but also morally good. It's good morally to be thankful. Now turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn over just a few pages in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verse number 18. Our Paul here says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I believe that the term the will of God, this is the will of God, refers back beyond the giving thanks. But it certainly includes giving thanks, doesn't it? In other words, it is the revealed will of God for you to be thankful. It's one of God's precepts. And as a precept of God, to give thanks in everything, at all times, in all situations, such a precept can only be obeyed by the work of the Spirit of God. Now, this is something you're very familiar with. Any of God's commands requires the Spirit of God to work in us so that we obey the command. We've seen this in the New Covenant. Ezekiel, a new spirit, a new heart, so that you'll walk in my precepts. The worthy walk is a walk that requires a new heart. And if thanksgiving is part of that, then thanksgiving requires a new heart. You see, Paul repeats the command. You go back to Colossians chapter 2. And you'll see in Colossians, every single chapter has a reference to thanksgiving. Colossians 2, verse number 7. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Chapter 3, in the verse number 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You get the point. This is a precept. Paul is praying for the believers to walk worthy in the commands of God, and thanksgiving is one of those commands. And as such, a proper thanksgiving is produced in us by the Spirit of God when he gives us a new heart and a new spirit. Could it ever be the case that a born-again believer would not be thankful? Oh yes, like every mark of obedience, there'll be times of weakness and strength. But by the Spirit of God, there is the production of this matter of thanksgiving. But not only precept, think also practice. Because when you examine the subject of thanksgiving in the Word of God, you will see very quickly that thankfulness is a mark of the regenerate and unthankfulness is a mark of the reprobate. It's interesting in Luke chapter 6 when it describes common grace, it says that God is kind. And how does God describe the unregenerate there? They are the unthankful and the evil. You look back to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, of course, it details the present revelation of the wrath of God. It shows us unrighteousness, verse 18. It shows ungodliness. But as that is described, look what it says in verse 21. As the ungodly see creation, as they enjoy common grace in creation, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Neither were thankful. Well, look also then at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And here Paul is describing the last times. This know also that in the last times, 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Unthankful, unholy. You see that? I've already said that the unregenerate, through common grace, can say thank you at times, and they can actually mean it. All of the sins that are listed here are not present in every single unregenerate soul, but the point is this, that unthankfulness is a mark of the reprobate. It's a mark of those who do not know the Lord. Conversely, thankfulness is a mark of the believer. And so we're seeing again what happens by grace. The unthankful become thankful. So the 10 lepers are healed. The Lord, he's an indictment upon the 9 who don't come back and say thank you. The Lord commends it, and he works thankfulness in our hearts by his grace. So we're changed by grace. Precept. Proving that thankfulness is a mark of God's grace. Practice. Proving that thanksgiving is a mark of God's grace. And finally, Paul's prayer proves it also. Giving thanks unto the Father. Paul prays for it because he knows only the Lord can make the people of God truly thankful. If this was something that is just inevitable, why did Paul pray for it? Because he understands that the Lord himself must work in the heart of the child of God to give them this proper thankfulness. That's what he's praying for here. Lord, make them thankful. See, true thankfulness requires the Lord to continue to work in our hearts. It's crucial. So, having thought about this matter of thankfulness as a mark of the worthy walk, note within the second place, this thanksgiving is a manifestation of joy. Look again at verse number 11, where Paul prays there, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. Now we've been noting that this walk has various features. And when we walk with God, we may often walk in paths that are difficult. Never have I told you this walk is an easy walk. The temptation to give up, to faint, to fall back. That's why Paul prays in verse 11 that they would know patience and long suffering by the strengthening grace of God. They endure, they keep on going because God strengthens them even in the difficult ways. It's not easy. And yet by the strength of God, we endure, as it says in verse 11, with joyfulness. Not woe is me, but joy in God. And joy, I believe, then comes out in thankfulness. I think that's a link between verse 11 and verse 12. So Paul can just simply move forward with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. Why do we know someone has faith? Well, faith, internally, is evidenced in prayer externally. Those who trust in God pray to God. Prayer is the evidence of faith. And so my suggestion to you here is, thanksgiving is the evidence of joy. When there is true spiritual joy, there will then be this thanksgiving. Now let me show you that elsewhere in the Word of God. Where else would you expect to see it but in the Psalms? So turn back to the Psalm 95. What I want to show you here is that there is this consistent connection in the Word of God between genuine spiritual joy in the things of God and then this thanksgiving. Psalm 95. Oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. You see the parallels here? Joy, that's an internal emotion. But that is demonstrated, is manifested in thanksgiving. We come with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Over the page, Psalm 97. Psalm 97, verse number 12. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. The command here to rejoice, to meditate upon the Word of God, to stir up joy in our souls, and then when that joy is present, we will then give thanks. Isaiah 51. Turn there, please. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, the verse number 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Forgetting the context, you get the sense here there is grace at work. And when God works grace, what do you find? You always find joy and gladness. I despair when I see believers having the absence of joy. Because when God works in grace, there is joy. Now, that does not mean, I'm not going back over old sermons, that does not mean that there cannot be sadness along with true joy. 1 Peter 1. There's heaviness at times, therein you rejoice. Happiness and joy are not the same thing. You all understand that. Happiness is based upon your circumstances. Joy is based upon the unchanging truth of the gospel. And so we can know joy when we understand grace. But when we benefit from grace, there is joy and gladness found therein. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. And what then comes is thanksgiving in the voice of melody. There's singing in thankfulness when there is joy. And that's exactly what Paul taught in Ephesians chapter 5. Turn there, please. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and the verse number 20. Or verse 19. A mark of the Spirit of God is the child of God. We speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I think that ties back to Isaiah 51. There's this voice of melody. But what is displayed in the singing? Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why I say that true thanksgiving can only be found in the regenerate soul. For only the regenerate knows to rejoice in the Lord. Only the regenerate knows that deep spiritual joy, that though there is sorrow, there is gladness in the Lord. So do not be deceived. Do not confuse well-mannered individuals showing thankfulness with those who have been wrought on by the Spirit of God. Thanksgiving is a mark of the worthy walk. It's a manifestation of joy. And finally, true thanksgiving comes out of a meditation of faith. Back to Colossians chapter 1. And here we're going to really introduce what we'll look at in the next couple of weeks. You see, common grace cannot produce true thanksgiving because true thankfulness is a thankfulness for the unseen. That's what's happening here, isn't it? Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Here, Paul opens up the cause of our thankfulness. Not in the prosperity that this world offers, but in the position of the saints in the grace of God. An inheritance. Deliverance, verse 13. Forgiveness, verse 14. Perhaps you're not converted here tonight. Perhaps you're watching on and you do not know the Lord. And perhaps you've had this encounter with a Christian. And the Christian has said to you, I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. I have inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled. And you, unconverted soul, be honest. He said they must be mad. How do they know they've got this inheritance? And then beyond that, they say, I once was a captive of Satan, but I've been delivered, I'm set free. And that just adds to the thing, doesn't it? Unsaved soul, you become completely convinced they must be mad. How do they know they were captive to Satan? How do they know they're now free? And then to make matters worse, they claim that the God of heaven in the courts of God has said, you are not guilty of sin. You've been forgiven. How can anybody know they're forgiven? How can they know they've been delivered? How can they know they've got this inheritance? Well, you see, dear child of God, you know that you have these things. Because God has produced faith in your soul. All of these things, they are promises. Christ says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Christ says that those who call upon him, they shall be forgiven through his blood. Christ announces the redemption through his blood. We're not our own, we're bought with a price. These are all promises in the word of God. And by faith we lay hold upon the promises. And we genuinely believe that we have those things that are unseen. Yes, we have inheritance. Yes, we are forgiven. Yes, we are delivered. And no matter the unconverted think we're mad, we believe firmly we have these things. Hence we are thankful. And our thankfulness is for the unseen. Now, it is proper, it is entirely proper for us to give thanks for the material. That's right. 1 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that things are indeed blessed of God when they are received with thanksgiving. So we do thank the Lord for our meals. We do thank the Lord for our clothing. We thank the Lord for our wives. We thank the Lord for our houses. We thank the Lord for all of these material things. But the thankfulness of the worthy walk is a thankfulness for the unseen. They understand that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And thus there is this thankfulness that is distinct and present only in the child of God. For the believer sees beyond the seen into the unseen realm. And we believe these things, hence we are thankful. Thankfulness. I wrote a statement down. Hence I'm not so sure. Thankfulness, I said, is a neglected duty. Perhaps not. But I suspect that we're not as thankful as we ought to be. And we're certainly not as thankful as often as we ought to be. When Paul includes thankfulness in the worthy walk, he's putting thankfulness alongside something like increasing in the knowledge of God. When you walk with God, there's a development of your fellowship with God. And every born-again spirit says, yes, I need that increase. But less commonly, they reflect upon the matter of thanksgiving. Do you need this prayer? Paul believes that believers need to be prayed for that they would properly be thankful. And I think the reality is we are all prone to take for granted the grace of God. Oh, the first day, the first week, the first year. But most believers will confess that there are times in their lives when they just presumed upon the grace of God. And they presumed upon these things. You see, thankfulness is true when it flows from joy. Thankfulness is not merely the repeating of words. True thankfulness is the outward expression of the joy that comes in our hearts. A joy that delights not only in the gift, but also in the giver. Now, it is not correct to say that we should not delight in the gift. The gift comes from God. Therefore, we should delight in the gift. But as we delight in the gift, we give glory to God, who is the giver. And so our joy is not in the gifts and the things we receive. Our joy is in the Lord. And thus our thankfulness is unto the Father. Our thankfulness is a recognition of the origin of all good things, and therefore we convey that in a joyful spirit of praise and worship. An unthankful heart is something that must be repented of. Dear child of God, it could well be that there is a barrier in your communion with God. There's a precept, a command in the Word of God that we are in everything to give thanks. And when the child of God neglects the precepts of God, there's a barrier in their fellowship. And it may well be that some believers, they fall into backsliding because they neglect thanksgiving. Some that seems so small. Why preach a whole sermon on it? Because I'm convinced of the need to recognize that all we are by God's grace. God, who is the giver of all things. And I think it's fundamental to a proper Christian walk that each and every day we walk with God, we do so with thanksgiving. And if that's a neglect in your soul, then get to God tonight. Get before the cross. Cry unto Him for mercy. And resolve in your soul to walk with God in a spirit of thanksgiving. If that's not an issue for you, now praise the Lord for His grace. You're only thanked because of God's grace. Thank the Lord for that grace. Just make sure your unsaved soul, with no thought of God, understand that your unthankfulness grips you along with the reprobate. It puts you in the company of those who are going to a lost eternity. Praise God, the blood of Christ will cleanse from all sins, including unthankfulness. So may God help us to apply His word to our souls tonight. Let's pray together in prayer. The eternal God, our Father in heaven, we thank You again for this prayer inspired by the Spirit of God and authored by the Apostle Paul. We thank You for the lessons and the instruction we can learn in it. And we pray as we've paused to meditate upon this matter of thanksgiving. Oh Lord, You know the needs. You know the areas in which that must be applied. I consider it in my own soul. Oh Lord, make me more thankful. Make me more and more realize that all that I am and all that I have because of Your kindness towards me. Help us all not to believe we deserve anything. Deliver us from a self-entitled mentality. But help us to realize that even a drop of water is a gift from God. Oh Lord, bless our souls tonight. Bless this gathering and all who are watching on. May the Word of God indeed rest and abide in our hearts, and may Your blessing rest upon us. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.